Greetings and thanks for tuning in to the Give Me Understanding podcast. Psalm 119:34 describes this podcast best. Give me understanding and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. This is the podcast where I discuss the sacred text and do my best to help others understand it. Not because I know everything, but because to whom much is given, from him much will be required. In this episode, I want you to consider with me the weekly observance of the Lord's Supper. And if you would, if you're able, locate John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. And as usual, if you're not able to turn, of course, I'll read the passage out loud. This podcast, I have about six main ideas that I want to build upon. We'll start with the first, go to the second, to the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and then we'll make a conclusion. The honest question is asked, how often should or must we partake of the Lord's Supper? Of course, the words should and must imply two different things. If I say you should do something, that's not as necessary as if I say you must, which is absolutely necessary. It's a must. Jesus used the word must, M-U-S-T, in reference to true worship. Jesus taught that God seeks true worshipers to worship him, and to be such, they must worship in spirit and truth. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24 are located in the context of a conversation that Jesus had with a Samaritan woman. And the Samaritans were individuals who many years prior to Jesus' time had intermarried with Jewish people. So they had some Jewish connection, and yet they were not so-called full Jews, if you will. The Samaritans, they held to the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, but they didn't hold the other books to be scripture. They believed that in Samaria, God was to be worshipped, particularly on a well-known mountain there called Mount Gerizim. And Jesus encountered that as the woman at the well, as we describe her, spoke to Jesus and said, our fathers worship in this mountain. Jesus says to her, the hour is coming when you will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. She said, now our fathers worshiped on this mountain in Samaria, Gerizim. And you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. So the subject here is worship. Jesus said, you worship what you do not know as a Samaritan. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Verse 23, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So Jesus says there is a way that we must worship him in spirit and truth. I believe that John's recorded words here of Jesus are similar to the words that Joshua spoke in the long ago, when Joshua said at the very end of his tenure as the leader of the nation, he said, Joshua 24, verse number 14, now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth. I'm thinking here that in spirit means with your spirit, in sincerity, with the right attitude. I'm not convinced that it means something else. It makes sense to believe that in spirit is in the right spirit, in the right attitude, in sincerity. Jesus says we must worship that way, and we must worship in truth. Jesus said it very pointedly in his prayer to the Father. Father, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. So the Father's word, and we might style it like this, the gospel, the New Testament, the truth, the all truth that they have that's been revealed and written, is the truth. Jesus is the truth. His apostles had all the truth, John 16:13. They taught and wrote all the truth. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. 2 Peter 1:3 says, God has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So we have all the truth in the New Testament books. So if we're to worship God in the right attitude, with my right spirit, according to God's truth, that means that there is a way that is pleasing to God in worship and a way that is not, many that are not. According to that truth, the New Testament, when and how often are God's people supposed to partake communion? Point one, we must worship God. That's undeniable. John 4:23-24, the passage that I just read. Number two, we must continue in the apostles' doctrine. We must continue in it steadfastly. Acts 2:42 is the passage to which I draw your attention. When the church was established on the day of Pentecost, immediately they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Steadfastly means strongly. They continued devoted and strongly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Among the things that they were persistent in was the breaking of bread. Unfortunately, the English does not render or include the word the article the, but in the Greek manuscripts, the article the is in the text. So we might read Acts 2:42 like this. They continued strongly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship and in the breaking of the bread and in prayers. The breaking of the bread, I contend, according to Acts 20:7, is the bread of the Lord's Supper, not just any food. It's the food of the Lord's Supper, and it's spiritual food. It's not physical food. So, number one, we must worship God. Number two, we must continue steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and in the breaking of the bread, as the early church did. Number three, we must not forsake the assembling of ourselves together for worship. Hebrews 10, written in a context when these Christians are being persecuted, and it no doubt was much easier to fall away from the doctrine that Christ had given them and go back to Judaism. Because primarily early on, those who were persecuting them were the unbelieving Jews. In that context, they were to not forsake the assembling of themselves together, as is the manner, or as was the manner of some. Some were doing that. Instead, they were to exhort one another, and so much more as they saw the day approaching, the day of judgment. And in this context, I believe the day of judgment for them was the day when the destruction of Jerusalem would occur. Now, we can look at that another time. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, verse 23, same chapter. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So we're instructed as Christians not to forsake the assembling of ourselves. And the Greek word translated assembling of ourselves is the episynagoge. It means, it's a two-part word. It means to come together in one place and sit down together for worship. We must not forsake that. So we must worship God. We must continue steadfastly in the breaking of the bread. We must not forsake the assembling of ourselves together on the Lord's day. Number four, we must partake the Lord's Supper. To the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25, to the church at Corinth, God commanded that they partake the Lord's Supper. He said, In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So he told them to take it. "As often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." They were to partake the Lord's Supper. Jesus had said that before his death in giving the Lord's Supper. You might look at Matthew 26 and Mark 14 and Luke 22. Jesus said, and Paul wrote, "This do." And we know that the early church did it. Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the breaking of the bread. And then there's Acts chapter 20, verse 7. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. We know the early church did it. We know they took the Lord's Supper. They partook of it, the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. Acts chapter 20, verse 7, in the context of one of Paul's missionary journeys, he is traveling. He is in a hurry, according to verse 16. And it tells us, "Now on the first day of the week, when," which is no doubt an adverb of time, telling us about a practice of the disciples in Troas. "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight." So given the fact, number one, that we must worship God because he's worthy and we're commanded to, he's seeking true worshipers to worship him. Because, number two, we must continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in the breaking of the bread as the early church did. And three, because we must not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And four, because we must partake the Lord's Supper as Jesus said and as the apostles and the early church practiced, Acts 20 verse 7. The question becomes, when did they do it? Again, Acts chapter 20 verse 7 is the answer for this. Point number five, we must partake the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. Acts 2 verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the breaking of the bread that began on the Lord's day. That began on the day of Pentecost, the day the church was established, which according to Leviticus 16 and Leviticus 23, the day of Pentecost was on a Sunday. The church of our Lord was established on a Sunday, and they began on that day to continually be strong in following the apostles' teaching and the breaking of the bread and the fellowship and the prayers. Acts 2:42. Now, after the church was established, according as per Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, it's never recorded in the scripture that they partook of the communion on any other day. Question, if God set it up for Sunday, and under the direction of Jesus' apostles, they partook it on the first day of the week, who are we to change it? We have no authority. And why change it? We have no direction in God's written word to change it. Finally, consider this. Number six, we must partake the Lord's Supper every Sunday. There is a first day of the week, every week, 52 of them on our calendar. Again, consider Acts 20, verse 7. "Now, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight." This passage emphatically states that they were gathered together on the first day of the week for the purpose of breaking bread, that is, partaking the Lord's Supper. Why do so many professing Christians not observe communion every Sunday? How can such an observance be from heaven and not from men? Here's my conclusion that I want you to consider. If God has commanded his people to observe the Lord's Supper, and the way Christ had the apostles set it up was on Sunday, and there is a Sunday every week, why should we not partake of it every week? What in Scripture would cause us to think that it pleases Jesus to do otherwise? Now, I know the arguments that some have made. Some who once took the Lord's Supper every week, and now they don't. Now they do it every fifth Sunday. They do it at their convenience. They do it on Thursday night and so forth. But the fact remains that from the time the church was established in Acts chapter 2 till this very day, in the text of God's Word particularly, it's never recorded in that text, the sacred text, the Scripture, that the church partook of the communion on any other day. And if God set it up that way, what in the context of the New Testament teaches us to change that, to do it differently? There is no instruction. It doesn't take someone who knows Greek to do that, to know that rather. But it does take someone who comes along and thinks, well, we don't have to do it the way Jesus said to do it, the way the early church did it, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit-guided apostles. It takes someone who either doesn't care about God's authority or who's simply wanting to change things. And let me address this too. There are some who say, no, I believe in the authority of Christ and I'm not trying to change anything. Aaron, you're adding to the Word of God. You're requiring something that God does not require. My question would be, how so? How is teaching what Jesus taught and following the example that the Holy Spirit led the apostles and the early church to follow adding something that God didn't add? How? The truth is, for the honest seeker, it's not. And there's no reason from heaven to change it or to do it differently. Honestly, when you observe the evidence in the gospel accounts and in the book of Acts, particularly the book of Acts, Christians were teaching, singing, praying, and giving financially multiple days of the week. But there's no indication that they ate physical meal, that they ate the meal of the Lord's Supper on any day besides the Lord's Day. One final argument. It's often argued from Acts chapter 2, verse number 46, that they took the Lord's Supper house to house, every day, any day. Listen to the passage. It says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple, these early Christians were breaking bread from house to house. Somebody says, there you go. They were breaking bread daily, breaking the bread of the Lord's Supper. Let's read that again. Verse 46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Paul's not using the word for bread that refers to the Lord's Supper, but the word meat, that which gives physical nourishment. They were breaking bread from house to house and eating their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. They were not partaking the Lord's Supper together every day in each other's houses, in their homes. Now, they did worship in their homes, but they partook the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, Acts chapter 20, verse 7. They weren't coming together every Sunday to merely eat a physical meal, though the early church probably did eat a physical meal together often. We have that reference in multiple, that idea in multiple places in the New Testament. And that's a wonderful practice to eat together. But they came together on Sunday to take the Lord's Supper. It is somewhat the focal point of our worship, because the church is to assemble together in one place to do it. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. And I would direct your attention to read 1 Corinthians 11 very closely. When you come together in one place, Paul writes more than once, regarding the Lord's Supper. So that's something that's to be done when the church comes together in one place. And we know when they did that. They did it upon the first day of the week. I hope this has been helpful and beneficial to you, and may God give us understanding that we might keep His law, indeed, observe it with our whole hearts. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Give Me Understanding podcast. God bless, and catch you next time.